repeat them. Ibn Taymiyyah responded to a letter that came from the Bishop of Sidon. His name is Paul. The bishop's name is Paul. And by the way, significant portions of the letter were found in a Coptic church in Egypt, in Cairo. And the name of the church is Maryam Jesus. Kanisa Maryam Jesus, Al-Qahira, Qubtiyya. Kanisa Qubtiyya, Al-Qahira. وجدت أطراف أو مقدمات من رسالة بولس بول أسقف طيبة الإنفاق. The message which he spread, sending the belief about Islam and Muhammad, the position of the Christians about this. And which Ibn Taymiyyah responded to, اللي هو في كتاب الكامل هذا اللي هو الطبعة الأولى, the first print came in Cairo, في طبعة دار الكتب المصرية الأولى, تقريبا أظن ثلاث أجزاء خلاص كان في أول 3 volumes first, and then now it's 6 volumes and it is amended and with all the manuscripts that were found in Turkey, in Cairo and in Holland. I'm talking about the response of Ibn Taymiyyah. Now, the Shaykh, may Allah's mercy be upon him, stated that his response was addressing a letter that came from Cyprus which contained evidences cited by Christian scholars supporting his religion. He said, Ibn Taymiyyah, it was therefore incumbent to present a decisive response that distinguishes the truth from falsehood, making it of benefit for men of understanding and the clarification of the revelation and mizan, and the balance of justice which Allah has brought forth with his messengers. يعني يقول كان متحتم واجب على أنه نرد رد فاصل لإظهار الحق من الباطل.
هذا صحيح؟ Is this okay? Well, it's making too much noise. طيب كده.
As we said, the author of the letter is Paul, the Bishop of Sidon. And Sidon is a city on the Lebanese coast, which is 25 miles south of Beirut, around 40 kilometers. The bishop was born in Antioch, in Antakya. هذا الأسقف راعي هذه الأبرشية ولد في Antakya, in Antioch, where he became a priest during the 12th century. In the latter part of his life, he was appointed as Bishop of Sidon. في آخر أيام حياته عينوه أسقف لمدينة سيدون. نعم, after he was a priest. He belonged to the Malakiyah, which is the Anglican Church. And this, the belief of these people is as follows. These people submitted to the Calisarian Council, which was the fourth and last council held in the year 451 in the Christian era, of the councils of the undivided church. كان هذا الاجتماع آخر اجتماع للـ undivided church, which adopted the belief in the dual nature of Jesus. هذه الكنيسة أقرت بآخر اجتماع لها طبيعتين لعيسى عليه السلام, طبيعة اللاهوت وطبيعة الناسوت. انتبهنا, هذا آخر شيء قبل أن تنقسم الكنيسة, لأنه كان في معارضة لهذا من بعض اليونيتيريان شيرش, اللي هي كانت اليونيتيريان شيرش opposed the dual concept of Jesus, and the famous person was Arius of Alexandria. You remember that name. He opposed it and they were persecuted, and their opposition spread in the Near East. And then after that, after the 381, which is the second council of the meeting of the churches, that was held in, I believe, the first council was in 325 of Nicaea, and then the second council in 381, and that was the last council before the almost official split of the church. The point here is that this man believed in the dual nature of Jesus, being of two kinds, two types, that Lahut, divine, and Nasut, being a person, human. And Isa alayhi salam, according to their belief, was having these two, having this dual nature. Now, today we will summarize the main points in the letter, okay? The main point, number one. The points which express the belief of the Christian church as declared by this man, the Bishop of Simon. Number one, Prophet Muhammad's message was limited to the Arabs and that the Quran testifies for that. This is their saying. أن رسالة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مختصة فقط في العرب وأن القرآن يدل على هذا. هذه واحدة. Second, the Quran itself praised Jesus, peace be upon him, his mother and the disciples, thus representing the supportive evidence for the authenticity of Christianity. As a result, Christians don't have to follow Islam. فهمنا؟ يقول هو أن القرآن يمدح عيسى عليه السلام ويمدح الحواريين أصحاب عيسى ويمدح أم عيسى عليه السلام. إذن هذه دلائل تقوية لديانتنا النصرانية يقول هو، وبالتالي ليس من داعيه لاتباع الإسلام. Did you understand this point? I repeat. He says that the Quran contains supportive evidences which praises Isa. This is true. It praises Isa alayhi salam, praises his mother, praises al-Hawariyin, the disciples of Isa. So he takes that as evidence supporting Christianity, and he says therefore we don't have to follow Islam. We are supported by your book, so we don't have to follow Islam. The third point. Allah just, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adil, يقول وهو حق. Allah is just. And his justice, عدالته, justifies the concept that Christians don't have to follow a prophet who in their opinion was not sent to them. You understand? يقولون إنه الله عادل وهو حق. وكون عادل إذن عدالته يعني تمنع أنه إحنا نتبع رسول ما أرسل إلينا بل أرسل لغيرنا. فهذا that's what he said. Again, he says, since Muhammad, peace be upon him, is sent to some other people other than us, in their opinion. Therefore, Allah is just. He's not going to punish us for not following him. You see the point? Number four. This is very, very dangerous. He says that the concept of Trinity. What is Trinity? A Trinity is the union of the Godhead of three persons, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, all united in one. All united in one. So the Father, the Holy Ghost, and the Son, they are all the Godhead, three persons in one. This is their concept of Trinity, which many of them don't understand even what it really means. By the way, just about 2 weeks ago, I read in one of the foreign newspapers that a famous priest, a French priest, declared that he is unable, after so many years in the Catholic Church, that he is unable to understand the concept of Trinity, and he says it's absolutely false. After even, you know, preaching it, the priest himself confessed that I don't understand what it really means. And we'll see why it doesn't. The concept of Trinity, the transmigration of the soul, تناسخ الأرواح, and the unification of the Holy Spirit with the human body in the form of Jesus, does not, according to him, contradict the creed of Tawheed in the oneness of Allah, which Muslims hold to. عرفنا؟ يقول إنه مفهوم التثليث وتناسخ الأرواح واتحاد الروح القدس في عيسى عليه السلام لا تناقض مفهوم التوحيد عند المسلم، بل أنه يقول أن هناك دلائل من أقوال الأنبياء على هذا، يقول هو في خضم كتابه رسالة. The fifth point that the books of Revelation, here it is, the prophets before Isa, before Jesus, substantiate the Christian's creed of Trinity, the persons and unification etc. He says that the revelations to prophets before, يعني الوحي إلى أنبياء من قبل تدعم مفهوم التثليث والاتحاد والحلول الذي يعتقدون به. هذه هي رسالة النصارى. And by the way, is it too different from what we hear from Christians now? Is it too different? هل هي بعيدة عما نسمعه مما يقوله النصارى الآن؟ هل؟ That's the same creed. The same thing, unification, Trinity, that they are justified in their religion, the revelations support that, the prophets support their concepts of belief, etc. That's what we hear, because this is what came out after Isa alayhi salam, came out from men, not from Isa. Because this came from men, هذا جاء من رجال, لم يأتي من عيسى عليه السلام هذا الكلام. This, or these words, did not come from عيسى عليه السلام, from Jesus. These came from their great scholars, quote unquote, the known great scholars of their faith. They gathered in this conference, and the Pauline church, which adopted the Paul's concept of عيسى, they were the ones who produced this concept of Trinity, and then they said anyone who doesn't follow it is a dissident, and therefore he from now on, after the year 381, he may be subject for, may be subject to persecution, anyone who doesn't hold to that belief. Now this is therefore, remember, I hope that you have written the points, and this is where the major discussion of our time inshallah during these 5 or 4 days will go through. Now what I want from you tomorrow inshallah, tomorrow's subject is what is called laying foundation and the beginning of the response. Tomorrow's subject is laying foundation and the beginning to the beginning of the response to the number one point, which is that the message of Muhammad, peace be upon him, is limited, it's not universal. Okay? So we have to address this point, inshallah. But before that, and I'm not going to be the one who is going to present it, but Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, to share, trying to do a little bit of research on this. Points. With evidence. I mean, I don't want, you know, pages. Just very briefly. Of course, evidence, Quran, Hadith, other evidences from realities, from past history, etc. We need to know this in detail. So that, inshallah, man is one called Nuhassin Anfusana, fortify ourselves with knowledge about each doubt, حول كل شبهة, that may be raised by anyone regarding our deen and regarding the universality of the message of Islam. So this is inshallah the task that we want to discuss tomorrow, and in the limited time that I have with you now, I want to go back to the points that were mentioned in the questions that the question that I raised to you in the early part of this talk, and that is related to how do you feel regarding your attempts to deliver the message of Islam to people whom you don't know their background or etc. Our brother mentioned that sometimes we concentrate on Christianity, sure, because you know this world is filled with Christians, isn't it? They are everywhere, literally almost everywhere. Yani kathir min al-nas nasara. Then also there are others who are not Christians, and they are also, there is a significant number of the earth population who are not Christians. What if they are Christians? I want you to now listen carefully, please. What if they are Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, with all their different beliefs and the different gods that they have taken? There is one commonality between them all. One commonality between them all, and that is they worship creation in one form or another. هذه القاعدة. This is your way through. This is your opening door. Whom do you worship? He says Buddha. Whom do you worship? The god, the cow, the god, the etc. The god, the sacred river, the god, etc. The god, the moon. You remember the Persians before? They worship fire, and they had two concepts about the life. You know, fire and darkness and light. Those, the Greeks before. Who worship statues, images, temples for their gods, slaughtering sacrifices given for them. And Christians, they have taken of Isa alayhi salam as the object of their worship. And Isa is created. Isa is created. And we will see how beautifully the Prophet ﷺ had a nice debate between with a delegate of Christians that came to him from Najran, from the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula. A group of Christians came to the Prophet ﷺ, and they came asking him about Isa ﷺ. And he answered them beautifully, as we will go over this inshallah in detail. But he addressed the issue of Isa being makhluk, being created. Being created, that he was in need, that he needed nutrition, he needed breastfeeding, he needed anything that almost a human needs. So in that sense, how could you make of him divine? And thus you worship him. Wherever you go, every other religion other than Islam, it worships creation in one form or another. This is the bottom line. هذه هي قضية الهندوكي or the Christian or any other religion, whether it's in South America or in China or anywhere. Of course, I mean, يعني the pressures of the atheist and the hawa, you know, he's related to something created. It's created in him, it's true, but I mean, he revolves around something which is not divine, does not have the attributes of divinity at all, which is desire. Desire is in contrast with divinity, as taken by some people who worship their desires and worship their own whims. So this really is the fulcrum of everything. And think about a simple approach towards these people. خذ خط عام سهل مع كل هذه الناس. With all, whether he is a PhD, whether he is a doctor, whether he is an engineer, whether he is a layman, etc. Simple words. Sometimes these people live in their or within their ego and high above normality. But little words, simple words, sometimes drive them down to reality and brings them down to reality. This universe, could it have two gods? Two. Could it have two gods? Each disputing with the other for power. Power struggle. Who sets the sun today? Who sets the moon? Who sets the stars? Etc. Can't be. Conflict. It can't be. Must be therefore one God, one creator of this universe. Then we proceed. This is number one item. Second item. We proceed. We say, if one God, do you think he likes or he wants his creation as a whole to submit to him alone, or that he wants his creation, part in Philippines worship this idol, part in Arabia worship such and such, part in Asia, part in Europe, part in Russia, each differently worshipping a different deity, and he is the creator of them all, and what they do is, does he like it for them to worship other than him? Does he want them to worship except him, subhanahu wa ta'ala? He wants them to worship him, because he created them, and therefore he wants them to submit to him. If they had chosen to submit to other than him, this means that they had betrayed the attributes of Allah, betrayed what he had given them, betrayed the favors that he had blessed them with, and they had turned their backs to him. Etc. So you agree that the creation, that he likes the creation and wants the creation to worship him alone. Therefore, he had given them, since Adam and up to Muhammad, up to the day of judgment, given them ways to worship him. These ways are religion. These ways are religion, how to worship Allah. In the past it was called Judaism, or you know, it was called Christianity, now we understand it. But that religion, in its essence, it is the submission to him. Never ever Moses, never ever Jesus, peace be upon them all, told the people to worship themselves, but to worship their creator. And hence the essence of religion and the way to worship him cannot be dictated by you and me. I cannot sit here and I say to you, this is the way I'm going to worship God Allah. And you tell me, no, I'm going to worship him this. Everybody will come up with a different way of worship if it is not unified. And everyone will come up with his own ways of understanding of how to worship. That's why sometimes when you talk to some people in an audience, after 1 hour talk, somebody raises his hand and asks a question. He says, okay, I believe in God like you, but I want to worship him in my way. What is your way? You see? If everyone says, well, then everybody will worship differently. And it cannot be unified. But he made it unified how to worship him. This is detailed for the last, for mankind by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as was revealed to. In the past, it was revealed to the Israelites how to worship Allah in the way Moses revealed to them how to worship Allah. And similarly, when Jesus came, he abrogated some of the laws which were given to the Israelites by Moses, peace be upon him. And therefore, they ended up worshipping Allah as Allah wanted them to be worshipped when Jesus came to the Israelites. So it's the same thing continuing. The essence of the essence is a unified message. This is the way to worship me, Allah, and therefore follow it. So one God definitely requires one way of worship. You see, this is the second issue. One God, one worship. Then, does he, the third thing, does he like to see that after he had given us all what we have, from the vision we have, from the mental thinking we have, from all the signs that he had created in us and in the universe around us, and then somebody goes to something created and then gives him thanks, offers him sacrifice, worships him, devotes himself to him, dies for his sake, etc. This is indeed, this is an intimidation of human intelligence, if you think about it. It is an intimidation of human intelligence. If people, when people give this kind of worship and this kind of allegiance to other than their creator. يعني هذا فيه إهانة للذكاء الإنساني أنه البشر تتجه إلى مخلوقات تموت. These created beings die and end. But Allah is the ever living, who does not die. So, here comes somebody. And he says, and you ask him, do you think God gets tired? Do you think God gets tired? He says, no. Why? Because there is something within himself. It is in his innate nature, within himself, that he says, it can't be. God is perfect. So going back to the early part of our talk about the attributes, huh? The who deserves to be worshipped. He is perfect, therefore, he does not get tired. He may have six Bibles next to him, or in his home. But when you touch him with that question, does he get tired? He says no. Does he forget? He says no. This is his nature. This is his innate nature. So, you try to stimulate this innate nature to bring it to the surface. Why? Because what came on this innate nature is rust. And you try to help by the will of Allah to remove this rust. تشيل هذا الصدى تحك شوي حتى تخرج الفطرة من خلال الأسماء والصفات. Who deserves to be worshipped? A God that gets tired, a God that forgets, a God that etc. No, he rejects all of this. So if you bring him any book, give it any label, X, Y, Z, Bible, etc., and you find in it something that degrades the attributes of Allah, of God, then you will find a really strange reaction in him, that he inside doesn't like it. He doesn't like to see this written. And then he will start having certain doubts. How did this come up to? If this is a book of Allah and God, then how could it come and speak about God, speak about God in ways that are contradictory to his essence and his attributes? Therefore, something happened to this book. You see what I'm saying? Any book, any book, any book of religion that speaks about God in the way that they speak about. What kind of God that you are giving attributes to and you're giving your respect to? A cow passing the street, everything stops. And then, you know, this cow does not defend itself and cannot defend itself. You take it, you slaughter it, you eat its meat. And it cannot defend itself. Buddha was breathing, eating, sleeping. Perhaps he married, I'm not sure, but at least he was, and for sure, not at least for sure, he was a human. Therefore, he has different attributes. It can't be divine. The mere fact and the conclusive fact that he died deprives him from all kinds of attributes that you think about to be perfect. It takes it away from him naturally. So bring, number three, bring the innate nature out from human. Bring them their innate nature. Through the attributes. Complete knowledge. Does God have complete knowledge? He is the all-knowledgeable. Yes, of course he is the all-knowledgeable. He is the all-awareing. Yes, of course he is awareing. And he is the creator. He is ever living. He does not die. All of these attributes to bring healthy response in the person whom you talk to, layman or whatever his level is, without going deep into things, unless he is a man of knowledge in his religion, then you deal with him on a different level. عرفنا؟ يعني إذا كان صاحب عقيدة ويعرف في دينه هو خلفيته, then you deal with him with a different way. But concentrate on the same point. Concentrate on the same point. يا أخي لأنه that's why الأنبياء that's what they did. They did not have exhaustive discussion, okay? They had limited discussion and limited debate, if we can use the word debate, and limited ways, limited in their, you know, it wasn't like melted and, you know, all over. No, it was directed and with a purpose. And with beautiful illustrations that he gave in the creation, in the signs of people, in their creation and in the horizons around them and in the scopes around them. They gave these things which people relate to easily. Ya akhi, you take this and you drink it. You drink the water and you walk the streets and everything. Well, what happens if this is taken from us? We will die. So who gave it to us? And he gave this to us, and then we turn to a grave or to a sun or to a moon or to a man other than him, and we give him attributes and regards. What we are doing to ourselves? To bring this approach, this is general, and this is only, I wanted to address it with you because of the answers that I got from you there on the question that we discussed earlier. If you have any question before we end this talk of today, this introductory talk, then inshallah we may take your questions.
We are dealing with somebody who knows about the Bible. It's very easy to deal with him, but what about for those that don't know much about the Bible? As you sometimes are when you run across somebody who doesn't know anything about the Bible, except the concept of Trinity and the knowledge about
the system. Yeah. I don't want to say, you know, it's quite easy, but what I say is it is sometimes more straight to deal with these people than to deal with people who think that they have evidence, okay, for to justify their points of view. Because that might lead you into an in-depth discussion. That's what I said here, لما قلت أنا أنه الإنسان العادي, الليمان, whether he is Christian or otherwise. هذا الذي تركز أنت عليه, تحاول أن تأتي به إلى الفطرة. لأنه هكذا كان منهج الأنبياء سبحان الله, يعني سبحان الله. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يرسل معاذ بن جبل, send معاذ بن جبل في اليمن, and Yemen at that time was people of the book, those who lived in there, يعني من أهل الكتاب. فجاء إليهم يدعوهم, أول ما يعني وصاه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يدعوهم إلى أن يوحدوا الله كما جاء في رواية صحيحة عن البخاري. Call them to declare that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, أو أن يوحد الله, to declare توحيد in Allah سبحانه وتعالى. So here is Mu'adh, a scholar of Islam, coming to a people of the book. He did not, Mu'adh رضي الله عنه, go and check their Bibles and check their Torah and check everything in there. No, the message was simple and effective. To know about Allah. ما معنى توحد الله؟ لتعرفوا عن الله. To know about Allah. To know about Allah. How do you know about Allah? Except through what he described himself. بما وصف به نفسه. هذه الأشياء التي نتكلم عليها هنا. لأنه يا إخوان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يتكلم إلا الحق. And he said, كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. Every child is born on the fitra, which is the natural inclination to worship Allah alone. It is in him. Then he said, فأبواه يهودانه وينصرانه أو يمجسانه. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, لكن his parents make him a Jew, Christian or an Asian. So the change comes later, isn't it? That's the meaning of the hadith. And in the hadith al-Qudsi, إِنِّي خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي حُنَفَاءَ. I have created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hadith related by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on behalf of Allah, I have created my slaves حُنَفَاء, meaning on pure tawheed. That's what means حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا, as Ibrahim alayhi salam said. فَاشْتَعَدَتْهُمِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Then the devil changed them. and made them worship with me and set partners with me other than me, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, there you go. His fitrah was there. The environment around him and his parents, all the devils from men and jinn around him, changed him. Change him to associate with Allah and worship other than Him. So this is the status of the slaves of Allah. This is what Allah is saying. Ibadi. Ibadi. Hunafa. Then the devil changed him to worship other than Allah, whether in the form of Christianity, Judaism, etc., etc. Isn't it? That's what it means. Clear. So try to bring them to the origin, which is the fitrah. Fitrah Allah التي خلق الناس عليها. لا تبديل لخلق الله. This is it. هذه يا أخوان قاعدة والله لو تفكروا فيها بإذن الله تستفيدوا منها كثيرا في الدعوة. هي قضية الفطرة. محاولة إعادة لو كان أيا كان بروفيسور عادي خياط ميكانيكي كهربائي إلى آخره. يا أخي كم ربكم كم إلى طيب الصفات كذا وكذا هل يستحق what are his attributes? Therefore he deserves to be worshipped alone, isn't it? Should we resort to other than these divine attributes and think of them as divine just because people have written this? No. And it really does not take too much of argument on the other hand. ما تأخذ وقت طويل لجدال هذه الأمور. Therefore, concentrate, in my advice, concentrate on this, because it is the way of the Prophet. هذا حق. هذا حق. ما في رسالة من الرسل أو من رسالة الرسل اللي أنزلها الله سبحانه وتعالى بالوحي إلا كانت تنتهي كما في القرآن الكريم وأن الله ربي وربكم فاعبدوه. This is what the message of all the messengers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to relay this message as simple and clear to their people, and they did, and they did. And then what comes next is, whether he believes or not, this is a matter that is not in your hand and in my hand. What's in your hand and in my hand is what is called hidayatul irshad. Hidayatul irshad, showing the way. ولكن هداية القلب ليست لي ولا لك ولا لأي بشر. إنك لا تهدي من أحبب ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. والله سبحانه وتعالى made it clear that the هداية guidance that touches the heart is in his hands. But the guidance that people can do is to show the way. This is Islam. This is what we call for. And I believe, you know what, nowadays, as one brother touched on one issue, I think he left this room. He said that Islam nowadays is under severe attack by non-Muslims, distorting what is Islam is really about. And therefore, this really drives us, and I hope, inshallah, we will have some talk about it, which we have forgot for so many times. And that is to concentrate and give some due attention to mahasin in Islam. The beauty of Islam and the greatness of Islam. We should not really forget this. Amid this huge attack from all over the world on Islam, we have to present the true side of Islam. يعني أنت في مواجهة. هم يحاولوا يشوهوا هذا الدين من خلال تصرفات معينة لبعض الناس. واجبنا نحن أن نظهر الحق، وهذا طريق الأنبياء بالعلم والعدل. And therefore our duty, as Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله did in regard to the letter of this bishop, is to show knowledge regarding each point and call them to Islam. And therefore our duty is to stress nowadays, especially nowadays, all the time, but nowadays especially, when Islam is under this severe attack, knowing for their side, knowing to them, they are fearful. They are in a state of fear. They are in a state of fear. Because they don't have nothing. Yeah. They really don't have nothing and they know it. They know it that if the opportunity is given, in their point of view, to this Islam to rise and to spread, and they see it spreading in their home, in their countries, they see it growing, it is bringing a signal of fear to them. What is our purpose is to send the true signal that Islam should not be a source of fear. Islam should be a source of tranquility and sound health for all the societies that we live in. This is what we should really stress on, especially with the media attention that is really concentrating on trying to abort the growth of Islam, especially in the West. As we know, Islam is growing and growing strongly in many Western countries. And this is bringing a state of fear, which is really, it shouldn't be. Because these people have not known about Islam. They did not have, most of these people did not have, did not get the true information about Islam. Some may have done it, but there are few. And those few who have done it are speaking out against even, against what the media is trying to spread about Islam. So in short, we should really concentrate on bringing again the beauty of Islam and the greatness of Islam. With ilm, with knowledge, evidences, and in a just way.
طيب نظن إذا ما في سؤال ننتهي إن شاء الله في سؤال تفضل نعم 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 نعم
It's true. I mean, what you have said is absolutely true. The division among Muslims, the lack of good understanding of Islam by some, is bringing, unfortunately, is bringing a lot of bad propaganda against Islam. There's no doubt about it. And therefore, we should not keep silent in the right thing, in the right thing, in propagation of the truth, in propagation of the truth. We should not really fear what's happening. On the contrary, this may be a motivation for us, since we have been laying back just from the side burner there without doing much to our deen. And the best we could do to ourselves and to this deen is to propagate the truth about it. حقيقة هذا الدين وأجمل حقيقة يا إخوان ما في أجمل من قضية توحيد الله عز وجل لأنه غير هذا فهو كما ترون هو الظلم هو الظلم As Luqman said to his son, Ya Bunayya, la tushrik billahi, inna shirka la zulmun azim. O my son, don't set up partners with Allah and associates. Because verily, shirk is a grave injustice. And that's what we really, what we are seeing, by the way, what we are seeing from the behavior of these people is because they don't worship Allah. Isn't it?
Isn't it?
This is the issue. It revolves around this. I mean, all the other issues are secondary to this issue. Because they are in a state of injustice. Because they worship other than Allah, they have and they do, etc. what they do. That's the issue. This is the point. هذا الذي بين المسلم وبين غير المسلم هذا هو الأمر